Thinks to himself, if only I could be a bird, that I could show them this warm barn. And just as those shivering birds want warmth, we want life and truth. The farmer may have failed to communicate with the birds, but God has sent us Jesus. So how does Jesus intend for us to care for others? To understand this, we must first meditate and how he loves us. And how do we do that? Well, we get into his word. I want to give you four quick important points for starting to seek God. One is, realize that Jesus loves you selflessly. You see, Jesus is devoted to you because of who you are and not what you can do for him. In fact, in Philippians 2, it teaches us that Jesus cares for you so much that he left his glorious home in heaven to provide a way of salvation for you. He emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant and even being made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death on the cross. You know, he left behind his magnificent throne and heavenly comfort for you. Jesus held nothing back out of self-interest. He gave up everything for you. Secondly, let's try to realize and understand that he loves you understandingly. If there's one thing you can count on, is that Christ is sympathetic to your sufferings, your faults, and your limitations. And he realizes why you respond to situations the way that you do. In Hebrews 4, Jesus assures you of this. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, my friends, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive the grace to help. We may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Lord is compassionate in regards to your pain, and he always accepts you when you genuinely go out and seek him. Thirdly, let's realize that Jesus loves you forgivingly. Yes, there will be times when you sin and feel separated from Jesus. That's just who we are, and that's part of life. However, 1 John tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful in righteousness to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, the reason God hates sin is because it is a destroyer. It separates us from him. And it can dominate your life and keep you from experiencing the very best that he has for you. The Father wants to cleanse you of your sin as quickly as possible and get you back on the right track. And a fourth, final point is Jesus loves you Jesus tells us that for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. What is Christ's joy? It was bringing you back into a relationship with himself. But you see, it cost him greatly, even that excruciating, painful death on the cross. My friends, great love often requires an immense sacrifice for the benefit of the one that you love. And no one ever demonstrated that better than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I have to ask you today, do you choose to lay down your life for others? Are the eternal destinies of those you love worth protecting? Do you truly believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Will you stand for it by loving others as Jesus did? You know, I know a lot of us may never come into any armed conflicts, although there have been some that have so proudly served our country, and we're grateful for that. But my friends, we're engaged in a very intense battle for people's eternities. God gives us a great weapon with which to gain the victory. Selfless, understanding, forgiving, sacrificial, and unconditional love. That is how people will know that we belong to him. And that is why they will want to know him and want to seek him as well. You know, God does have a plan for each and every one of us. And he wants us to know that. Every time we take a step of obedience, seeking him, he sheds more light on our path. But, you see, sometimes he may ask us to pause a while, to wait. And we just don't know why. We long for direction in a particular matter, but our prayers just aren't being answered. And we wonder, why, Lord? Why do you delay? When you are not seeing any answers, that does not mean God is not working. He is still actively involved in your life, and he works in ways that, well, they're just not always visible. He creates these circumstances. He changes people's hearts, and he protects his children from making hasty decisions that may have disastrous consequences. Perhaps, too, the Lord knows that you're just not ready for the next leg of your spiritual journey. Look at waiting times in your life as opportunity for growth in your character, your obedience, even your faith. He may also need time to train you for a possible future responsibility or maybe even a ministry. You see, when you are obedient and intentionally choose to wait and be still and seek God, God unleashes his mighty power on your behalf. He has planned good things for those who wait. And I believe what he has in store for your life will surpass every expectation you would ever have. When he knows you're ready to receive his blessings, they will flow. They will flow right into your lap. But we need to and we must wait and seek him. A couple ways to do that. Let's pray. By talking to Jesus in an open dialogue, we develop this relationship with him that, well, he's not just our Savior, he becomes our friend. And as that intimacy grows, so will our passion for him. We need to set aside time each day to pray. And when we do that, and we enjoy that, it's not because it become a duty, it's a delight. Let's get into his word. We can't grow in our Christian faith, in our life, if you keep the Bible closed all week long. Does anyone out here live on just one meal per week? Well, I know that's not possible for me. And some of you are seeing me eat. But yet, many of us Christians try to get by with just a Sunday dinner of the words served up by Pastor Paul. How can we expect God's truth to do its transforming work if we never let the word into our minds and our hearts every day? Jesus uses this body right here this body of believers at Bethel as a place for transformation. This is where we rub up against each other and have the rough edges of our character smoothed. This great place, Bethel, is a place of instruction, accountability, and encouragement. Are you letting the Lord use his character-shaping tools in your life? Our culture has no shortage of worldly voices and pressures that fill our minds and influences our behavior. My friends, only when we intentionally schedule time with Jesus, with his word, can we, his people, do his transforming work in our lives and in the lives of others. It is God himself that puts the desire to know him in our hearts. He created us for that relationship with him, and he's eager for that. He wants that. But God also made us with a free will, which is the only way that true love can exist. Forced love is not love. Every one of us was made with heaven inside of our hearts. And therefore, the things of this world can never satisfy us completely. Temporary satisfactions will always fade away and always leave us hungering for more. So, let's ask the question, why should we really, really seek God? On one hand, you may feel that you need him, and we do. And even though you may recognize that you have needs that only God can meet, you must try to use him. You must not try to use him to achieve your own agenda. It's not possible to bargain with God. Like, you know, I'll do this for the Lord, you know, if you do this for me. That's not Christianity at all. Are you seeking God to serve him, or did God to serve you? You must come to God because, well, you owe it to him to give him your life. I mean, after all, he is our creator. And two, we're deeply grateful to him for sacrificing his son. He's our redeemer. You're created by God. Make no mistake about it. And we owe him his life, whether you feel like it or not. You are obligated to seek him and ask him to soften your heart and open your eyes to enlighten you. We owe it to God. Find God in his creation. Try that. He's made this wonderful, beautiful earth. As of yesterday, it was such a beautiful weather day, right? He's given us scenery, fields that are starting to bloom, the waters, the air is starting to blossom, birds to listen to, flowers to smell. The list goes on. My friends, we have to stop, seek him in this busy life that we live, and smell the roses. Our five senses experience his creation every day, and we need to take note of who he is. All creation points back to a perfect God who hasn't missed one detail. Romans 1. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of this world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly revealed in all things that have been made. So they are without excuse. Let us get to know God. It's through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we have a clear picture of God. Jesus is not another prophet. He is God's Son. He came in real time in history so that we could get to know his Father. He has given us his Son to be our way back to God. Jesus came to this earth. He saved us from sin and the bondage that keeps us from knowing him. He is our link to God. No one can come to God except through his Son. His death on the cross became the atoning sacrifice for our sins, so that God no longer counts our sins against us. He has made you and I alive in Christ and has forgiven us all our sins.
Thank you, Bob, for sharing that word with us today. We certainly appreciate hearing that we are loved and that God has served.